I'm also one of those people that doesn't have a little thingy-ma-bopper for my phone, so it's kind of flat, but I don't know, we're going to give it a shot, see what happens. Seems to be so far so good. I don't want to... there you go. I like that. That worked. It's amazing.
So what you want for Christmas.
It is. Well, yeah. Well, I don't do this, right? This is, I hold on to my computer really tight when I, anyway. So we're going to talk about Sabbath for the next probably month, give or take, off and on. TS is actually going to teach next week. I'm out of town. And so he'll teach next week, and then I'll pick it back up and get us through the new year, and then I'll hand it back over to Señor Lopez. So just so you guys are aware. I think as I've shared with you all, and you've probably noticed, one of the things that the Lord's been kind of working in my life over the last, I would say, couple of years, is this area around spiritual formation. And a little bit of the what I call the the approach or the focus of this class, right? How do we take things that are in our head and push them down into our daily lives? And I don't know about you, but this is a topic I never really think about or had thought about before. And we'll talk a little bit about that. I've got some questions that we'll kind of do a group discussion afterwards, so I don't want to go too far. But Sabbath is one of those areas that I think, I'm still getting used to this, sorry. I like to move a little bit, and so it is kind of weird, but I'm getting there. Sabbath is one of those topics that, like I said, I've just never really thought much about. So, you know, part of my goal... Okay, wait, don't do it, no. Go away. There it goes. Ooh, that worked. Right? But I can't read that very well, though. I know, but okay. Did that turn? No, that didn't. Okay, that's better. I'm gonna have to increase my point size. Yeah, Nate will be happy about that. Although I can always just turn to the screen, right? So my goal with this series, first and foremost, is to give you and myself just some insight. What is the Sabbath and what is it not? And I use that word like when I think of the Texas blue laws. We'll talk about that later, right? Why should we even keep the Sabbath? I mean, in many cases, I feel like I kind of grew up thinking that it was more of an Old Testament thing and it's not really applicable. I don't know if that's really true anymore. What does God actually say about the Sabbath? And once again, is the Sabbath applicable to us today? And why? So we're gonna piece that out, right? There's a lot of different topics to talk through, a lot of different approaches, some different theories around the why. So we're just gonna kind of pick and choose some areas over the next few weeks. Ultimately, I want you to understand, like I have. You then need to decide, is this something that's applicable in your life that you want to make part of your life? What does that really look like for you? My job here is not to try to say you need to be practicing the Sabbath. That's not what I'm trying to say, right? And I'll tell you, even if I've learned, I have shifted my mental approach. But I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm extensively celebrating the Sabbath, right? But it is something that has changed my, I'm going to say the mental word again, right? That approach when you think about it. So, why, right? Why are we thinking about the Sabbath? And these are way too small. So first and foremost, let's think about, I want you to think at a society level right now. I want you to think about what society says about work. And I don't know about you. I grew up in a house. My mom was a single mom. I think I've shared this with y'all before. She got divorced when I was five. So this is 1969. I know, I just turned 60, just for the record. So there you go. 1969, she was the first divorcee in our neighborhood. And at that time, she was somewhat ostracized a little bit, right? Because it was so new. The Catholic Church definitely was like, what did you do wrong? Right? Kind of missed that whole point. But the point being is, I grew up in an environment where it was all about work. It was about hard work. It was about working, 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 and you got rewarded for work. Now, I'm not up here saying work is bad. That's not what I'm saying. But I want you to think at a societal level, what do we think about work, right, as a society? And at the end of the day, how many times we kind of align ourselves with work when we talk about our lives? You meet somebody at a party or you say hello to someone. Well, how are you doing today? I'm really busy. I mean, how many times do you hear that? How many times do we use that? I mean, I'm guilty of that all the time. Because guess what? That's what we live. We live in this world of busyness. If there was one beautiful thing about COVID, it made us all stop and slow down for at least a couple of weeks, right? I mean, say what you will about the masks, but it really did, right? Those 2 weeks, really, when the whole country shut down, that was a pretty amazing time to just sit back. So think about that from that perspective, because we have become accustomed to this pace of life that is constant, right? We had a rule in our house with our kids, and that was you could not do more than one thing at a time, not more than one sport at a time. Even that was hard with 4 kids, right? And that's with the kids. But how many, but we fill our lives up with these things. We're busy. We're running from here to here to here to here. We're constantly on the move. And that's the thing I want you to think about. But think about it. How are we rewarded in society? We're rewarded for hard work, right? You're rewarded at your job for getting there early and staying late.
I don't think you work at the same company I work.
Well, yeah. I think it's changed over the years, but I'll tell you, like, I had a buddy of mine. He was interviewing with Microsoft over in the UK. So he was going to move to the UK. And in his contract, it actually stated that he could not work beyond 40 hours a week. You're smiling. Have you the experience with this?
Yeah.
Really? And I thought that was so crazy. That was such a weird, what do you mean? What do you mean they want you to only work 8 to 5? That's not what.
Let them all get off too.
Well, that's a different conversation. But that's not real, right? That's not, you don't excel if you only work 8 to 5, right? That's what society tells us. Once again, I'm not saying work is bad. I'm not. What I want you to think about, though, is what is constantly barraging us in our world today. Go, go, go. Right? Sorry, I'm getting preachy. I don't mean to be. And I'm so guilty of this. How many times do we look down upon somebody in the professional space if they take too much time off? What do you mean you're taking 3 weeks off? What do you mean you're not going to check in? What do you mean you're not checking your email? No. You can't do that, right? It's like, who would do that? We get caught up in that. We get, what is it, Glenn? Go ahead.
You just had a baby. You don't need time off.
Well, yeah. Right, exactly. So I want you to think about that. I think also part of that is we are overworked, we are underrested, and we are discontent. I mean, that's kind of the sad part, I think. Is, this one at the bottom, right? Our lives are full of activity, but we're only half present. We're only, because we're constantly thinking about other things. Remember when I did the thing on prayer with Tyler Stanton, right? One of the things around contemplative prayer that really made me take a pause was, how many times is our prayer life us just spewing out to God and not stopping and listening to God? There's a little bit of that coming back here as it pertains to Sabbath. And I think we need to look at that. I know I shared this stat with you before, but I'm going to share it again. In 1967, the Senate subcommittee claimed that by 1985, with all of the great technology, that we would only be working 27 hours a week, 22 weeks a year, because we would have so much leisure time. Yeah, right? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, right. Our leisure time has actually decreased 37% in that same time frame. Why? Because we carry around these damn things in our pocket. I know I'm not supposed to use that word,
no,
but
that's the proper word.
It is? Okay, thank you. It is, so yeah, feel free, yeah, right? Ed Desch, who I don't know, he's a psychologist, he actually says that the average American has worked more each decade since the 60s, so much so that a typical full-time job now, compared to the 60s, we've added an extra month of just work time, right? Whether that's maybe not taking vacation or, you know, there's all sorts of stats, and I've got some others I'll share later on. Apparently, 40% of Americans today are sleep deprived, not getting at least 7 hours of sleep a night. Anybody? 7 hours of sleep? Do you get it? No, you do? Some? Some do, some don't. Yes, no, I mean, I think I get 7, but that's because I start falling asleep around 8:30. Getting old sucks. Anyway, but at the same time, right, we're, I think it's John Mark Comer, where I got some of this from, who does a podcast called Practicing the Way. I would highly encourage it if you're interested in spiritual formation. But he says, we are busy, bored, and afraid of missing out all at the same time. I mean, it just, I don't know, for stuff like this, it's like, oh my gosh, whack me on the side of the head, right? So we're clearly overworked, underrested, maybe we're even a little bored or half paying attention, right? So what does God actually say about the Sabbath? So I do want you to open up your Bibles. I want you to go to Genesis 1. And I want to look at the roots of Sabbath. So if somebody could read Genesis verses 1 through 2, verse 31 and 2, chapter 2, 1 through 3. Somebody want to start that? Somebody at least start Genesis 1, verses 1 through 2.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters.
So we all know this story, right? We know the story. This is where God is beginning to create. We've got a formless void. He's beginning to create the days, right? So let's go, Barb, read verse 31 for me.
And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Good. The rest of the
Yeah, keep going.
Okay. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made.
So, you think you have a busy job. You think what you do is important, right? What happens?
We're not God.
We're not. But God rests. God takes a step back and he rests. And gee, what else does he do? He blesses the seventh day. And if you look through chapter 1, he doesn't bless the other days. He blesses mankind, but he doesn't bless the days. He blesses the Sabbath. He makes it holy. Comer talks about how it's a chorus, right? When you think about the rhythm of the poetry of Genesis 1, and that the Sabbath is kind of the chorus of that, right? He's creating, he's creating, he's creating, he's resting. He's creating, he's creating, he's creating, he's resting. So at the core of God's creation is this thing called the Sabbath. All right, let's keep going. Let's look at Exodus, right? We know the story of Exodus. We know this was the time, and you know, it's the creation or the development of the Torah, right? So somebody go to chapter 31, verse 12 through 17 for me. If anybody's there,
I'm there.
Go for it.
The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, surely you must keep my Sabbaths, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So you must keep the Sabbath, for it is holy for you. Everyone who defiles it must surely be put to death. Indeed, if anyone does any work on it, then that person will be cut off from among his people. 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. And anyone who does his work on the Sabbath day must surely be put to death. The Israelites must keep the Sabbath by observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the Israelites forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed."
He rested and he was refreshed, right? So it remember, this is God giving the Israelites, this is part of the Ten Commandments, this is God giving the Israelites his, what's the word I'm looking for? His commandments, his, I lost it, but say that again.
Precepts.
That's a bigger word than I was going to use, but it doesn't matter. But you get my point, right? He's giving them his guidelines. He's giving them what he wants them to do going forward. And this is a critical component of that. God rested and was refreshed. Do we get refreshed?
It's a big one.
It is, right?
So many things that we do to quote unquote rest.
We don't rest.
Especially the stuff on screen. I don't know about you all, but you know, so many times it's so easy to sit in front of a TV and you know, watch a few episodes of your favorite show, whatever it is you're trying to rest, but at the end of it,
are you really refreshed?
Rest,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
I
right.
Fall asleep 10 minutes into it.
So let's go further. Now the Israelites have made it all the way to the promised land. You got a new generation going around the curve, right? They've done the whole 40-year thing. Now Moses is preparing them to go across in Deuteronomy. And what does he talk about? And what's interesting, whoever has this, Deuteronomy 5, chapter 5, verses 12 through 16.
I got it.
Okay.
So that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day.
So I find it interesting that he pulls their past into this discussion, right? Remember where you came from. You were a slave, and as such, you didn't get a Sabbath, right? Kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier with our mindset in work, that if you take too much time off, people are looking down upon you, right? To me, it's kind of similar. Yeah, we don't have slavery today, or at least, anyway. Yeah, let's not go there. Yeah. But The point being here is he's pulling the Israelites back to their past. Remember where you came from and that you were not given a Sabbath. Right? So as we think, and let's say you're a boss, let's say, and your team, you know, you need to recognize people need rest. Everybody needs rest. Everybody needs to take a step back. Otherwise, what happens? You go, you burn out, right? You go, you go to a mental institution or whatever, right? I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. But Moses is making this point very specifically that we need to be thinking about this, even from a social justice perspective, right? And how we interact with other people. Okay, let's keep going. So let's think about it from the Ten Commandments perspective. Now, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first three commandments, right, are loving God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of any sort of idol. And then you shall not misuse my name, the name of the Lord your God. Right? Fast forward, that's 1 through 3. You look at 5 through 10, and they're all about loving your neighbor. Right? Honor your father and mother. I love that one. That's a good one. I love it when my kids are honoring me. How's that? Right? Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. And don't covet your neighbor's house. Right? What's the bridge?
Keep the Sabbath.
It's the bridge between the two sections of the Ten Commandments. So it's kind of interesting to me that would be the center core of the commands that God has given the Israelites and as such given us, right? We honor the Ten Commandments. But yet the bridge, Josh, well, sort of, yeah, right? Yeah. But you see my point? The Sabbath is critically important to this entire approach. Okay, so what does Jesus say about the Sabbath? I think what's interesting is, number one, and I don't have the answer, how many miracles did Jesus perform on the Sabbath, right? Seemed like there was a bunch. Seemed like every miracle was either on the Sabbath. I mean, it just seemed like there were a lot. Now, I think he was doing that a little bit to stick the knife into the Pharisees a little, right? And turn it. But that's part of it. I think, you know, one of the things that we see with Christ is the Sabbath becomes really about the rest, the time, the focus. He even says in Mark, the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Here's one of the challenges, and I will say I am so guilty of this, is that we make things about a legal or a legalistic approach, right? I have to do this and this and this, so I do that so that God still likes me. And that is so wrong, right? And this is exactly where Jesus is coming from this perspective of the Sabbath is made, right, for man, not man for the Sabbath. And John Mark Comer even states that we can master the Sabbath and still never actually find rest. Because if it becomes about doing or not doing, it's not about rest. It's still about work. It's just about work you don't do, right? So I think that's the other thing we've got to think through as we approach this. What is our mindset? What is our motivation? Why are we doing this if we are doing this? And it's very easy to fall back on that, i.e. Texas blue laws. That's why you can't buy liquor in the state of Texas. We'll get into that later. So, our conclusion before we get into our discussion, right? Hopefully, what you've seen is, in my book, in what I've recognized, Sabbath is actually part of God's plan for our life. Sabbath, God has given us the Sabbath so that we can find rest and restoration on a weekly basis. And we'll get into more details of what that looks like. The Sabbath is holy. God blesses the Sabbath. In creation, from the beginning, He blessed the Sabbath. It's obviously an important component. It's the bridge in the Ten Commandments. We see that God rested, and He continues to give the command, remember the Sabbath. He obviously knew it was going to be difficult for the Israelites to not remember the Sabbath. He said it over and over and over. All right, so we got about 10 minutes. I told him we'd be out a little bit early. So let's just talk about a couple of things and speak out, right? What is your immediate reaction to Sabbath? Is it something you practice? Is it something you've heard about? Is it something that you didn't think was relevant? What's your immediate reaction?
Guilt, because I don't practice it.
Guilt, okay, all right. That's very honest. Glenn?
Yeah, I used to love like the movie Chariots of Fire. And so in that movie, he's like, you know, talked about I can't run on Sunday and all that stuff. So I think for years, I was like, you know, I saw it as a kid. And so for years, I was like, oh man, I'm sinning because I'm doing something, playing sports on Sunday or something.
Right.
And so even these days, I think I still carry a little bit of like, guilt about doing anything on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if it's like gardening, it's like, okay, that's fun and it's relaxing.
Uh-huh. Right. And I think that's a great question.
Yeah.
My kids all went to Covenant, where Chuck teaches. We played basketball against Shabbat Israel, and they would not play on a Friday night. Right? And we just thought that was so weird, but it was real, right? And they were very adamant about that. But great point, right? There's a guilt factor. There's this element of... Well, is gardening working? See, my argument would... Exactly. And my argument would be, no, it's not working. It's actually part of your rest and your time. But I think that's where we have to wrestle with this internally and on our own basis. What is our Sabbath? What does our Sabbath actually look like? Not going to get into a lot of that today. My plan is we'll get there and talk about some ideas and thoughts. But once again, great, great point.
And obviously, all of our families are 24/7.
Yep.
So there's that part.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my job is arguably 24/7.
Too. Right.
So what I like to do, and I hope this checks the boxes, is when I do find myself, even in a large pressurized mechanical device, 35,000 feet, is to appreciate the stars. Like, appreciate what is made of God.
Okay.
You said it this morning. None of us want to have. I'm trying to take the perspective of rain. And sometimes it's inconvenient, but the Bible says it's a blessing.
Right.
Try to appreciate things like that. When I'm out skiing on a Sunday in the mountains, just take a while while you're sitting on the chairlift, like, this place is incredible. I didn't make it. None of y'all made it. Like, God made all.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to take those like intermittent breaks. Of realizing, like God did on the seventh day, of everything He's created.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that He is the creator.
But how often, sorry for interrupting, how often, though, do we not take a step back and appreciate that? And I think that's one of the other messages that we'll talk about is by stepping back on a weekly basis and enjoying a time of rest, it begins to open our eyes to things around us. It begins to open our eyes to God's beauty and
all week long,
right? And then it begins to feed that.
It's an exercise that strengthens a muscle.
That's right. Yes, Danny.
I don't know if this probably has to do with upbringing. You know, growing
yep.
up in the Caribbean, being Puerto Rican and everything. I've always seen the Sabbath rest as something positive, something good.
That's great.
It can only help.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed in my life, the best decisions I've ever made in my life, and there's not many of them, granted. Let me just throw that out. Not many great ideas have come. But the few that I can definitely say that was a good idea, I would say every single time it came during a time of rest.
Mm.
And here's what I mean. I may have been working really hard, trying to understand something for hours and hours and hours. At some point, your brain is just not capable of processing what you're doing.
Right.
You take yourself away from the work.
Mm-hmm.
To relax, to exercise, to go up into a beautiful place or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, poof, it comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the solution to the problem, and then something that is actually productive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel a lot of times we keep ourselves so busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I guess it gives you credit in society, like societal credit that you're working hard, but you're not necessarily being.
Mm-hmm.
You're busy,
but not necessarily productive.
You're not necessarily doing great work.
And
the great, great work requires periods of rest.
Mm-hmm.
And when you rest, your mind kind of relaxes a little bit about it, sees it from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, there's the answer. Go back to work hard. Mm-hmm. It's like a
pendulum, maybe?
Huh?
Pendulum? No? Seesaw? I don't know.
You go from working intensely.
Yep.
Intensely, completely committed mentally and physically to something, then you relax and the solutions come.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like my best ideas have always come from, and that's what I describe as.
Is it not that God created rest? Did he not? He created work, therefore he created rest.
Uh-huh.
And would it not be then almost in our rebellion and our fallenness and kind of distraction of Satan is to work yourself to death?
Yeah.
To not follow God's God's design, God's God's path for us to rest, because resting, you're admitting your finiteness.
Yeah.
You are not God. God Himself rested, but He didn't need it. He
That's right.
Needed it to set a pattern for us and to demonstrate that it is good. But we physically need rest. If we do not rest, we are going to either burn out or have some kind of mental, physical exhaustion to the point of people. From overworking, and you're acknowledging that finiteness, and Satan doesn't want us to, like he, and or even just in our own fleshly pride, we don't want to admit that we can't do it all, and so we push ourselves. And so Sabbath is admitting and putting down that pride and humbling yourself, and saying, "I need a break, and I'm not God, and I can't do it all." But then you, but God is right. When you come to that rest, you actually feel better, and you do better, and you think better, and you work better. And so it's like it's almost like this oxymoron of like, oh yeah, God, I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
We think we know better.
I think there's also an element of trust, right? Taking a step back, stopping. And that's the other thing we'll talk a little bit about is, do you Sabbath when your work, when your work is completed, or do you Sabbath at a time? Right, where you just stop and our work's never completed. Yeah, but.
So I had a conversation with my dad yesterday.
Okay.
Just random calls. We don't really have anything scheduled. I just called him. So he subscribes to Russian Orthodox.
Huh?
So
interesting.
Saturday, he declared, like, this is my Sabbath.
Sabbath.
I'm not doing any work.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we get on that discussion, because like he knows I'm Christian, I talk very openly about it when I'm talking to him. But it's like when it comes to the Sabbath, and he's like, "I'm taking the Sabbath." I'm like, "Great. You don't have to take it on this day.
Right.
You can take it Saturday. Take it Sunday. Sometimes life means you have to take it on another day. The point is, like, you still keep it in mind. It's still holy and it's still important. But if you can't do it on a specific day, you're not going to be condemned by it.
Right.
Because that was already fulfilled in Jesus. And so it's still important. Just let it rule your life that you have to take.
And we'll talk a little bit about that, right? How do you plan? Because it does take some work to plan. And what does that look like? And, you know, we'll talk through some of that as well. So, because it is, there's some great balance here of rest, but not necessarily legalism, which I think most of us grew up in this world. So I think there's some things we have to talk through and decide what makes sense. All right? Anything else before we shut down?
So when I think about it, what is a good definition of rest? What's God's definition of rest? Because if I don't aim at something, I'm going to miss it every time.
Right.
So what's God's definition of rest versus man's definition?
Yeah, and I think we'll talk a little bit more about that. Okay, well, let me pray for us.